MSW Media.
Please join us in welcoming our new sponsor, Factor.
Factor meals are 100% ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed.
Head to factormeals.com/resist50 and use code resist50 and get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. Guys, it's fantastic!
That's right. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals.
Yes. Hi, I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
We are Frangela, and welcome to
The Final Word.
Woo-hoo! The Final Word with Frangela.
The Final Word.
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 I want to thank you for joining us here at the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network and MSW Media.
Because you know fine entertainment. That's right. Speaking of fine entertainment, thank you all for being our Patreon supporters, okay? Helping us for being this Black woman-owned business. I mean, we feel your support through and through and through. And we just want to say we appreciate you.
We totally appreciate you. And those of you who are about to become Patreon subscribers, we appreciate you too. And just liking and sharing this podcast is, if you can't help in other ways, that is so, so much help that we need. Thank you so much for that. Also, to those of you who've donated to our fabulous, fantastic equipment drive at GoFundMe, thank you.
Thank you so much. We are overwhelmed with appreciation for your outreach and support, and bless you all for, you know, whatever level of support you have been ever been able to give this podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we are so excited because we are in need of that equipment. And if you haven't had a chance and would like to still support, there's still time, please go to GoFundMe.com, put in Frangela, and you can help support our fantastic equipment drive.
And every Friday,
you can join us.
Oh, but I should say the Sexy Liberal Tour, though.
Yes,
first.
Yes, yes.
I should say that first. We have the Sexy Liberal Tour. We're going to save the world, y'all. We're saving the world.
We are saving the world. Go to sexyliberal.com. Don't accept rancid bad sites, okay? Go
That's
to Sexy Liberal, okay? And get your tickets because you're going to see. Oh, Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, Stephanie Miller, Frangela, and lots of amazing, amazing special guest stars. So make sure you get there because we're going to 16 cities, guys.
We're all over the place. We're coming somewhere near you. I know we are.
I know we are. Come out and hug us because we want to hug you and just laugh, laugh, laugh. And finally, join us in the third hour of the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday morning for
The Blackest Hour in Radio.
Yes, it absolutely is. Okay, so guys, let me tell you, O.J. Simpson is dead at 76. And, you know, I was really, really rocked about the whole trial. You know, when that happened, I was in my early 20s. I was maybe 24 years old when that, because that trial was 9 months old. And what happened was, I remember at first it being a trial about this guy and his wife. And then it became a trial about Blackness being put on trial for me. And what the way that it was being fed to me, you know what I mean? And my community. And in my community, when you talked about O.J. Simpson, people did not talk about O.J. Simpson being guilty. They talked about it now, but not then. In that time, it was about the racism of LA cops. And that was a huge, huge conversation. And it wasn't until You know, and I remember watching people when that verdict came out, yelling and screaming and being happy for OJ. And that is when I went, oh, wow, I just got wagged by the dog in terms of media, because this man went free, because what they were able to put on trial was racism. And there was so much racism that got put on trial. It's the same thing that I feel like happened with Donald Trump and Fannie Willis, right? So people want to put Fannie Willis for some reason on trial, her behavior, this, that, and the other. But the reality is, and she hasn't done anything wrong. And I'm not even talking about racism. But the reality is that O.J. Simpson really didn't get put on trial. Everything, gloves fitting, got put on trial. The LAPD got put on trial. You know, the system got put on trial. Racism got put on trial, but not the murder.
Yeah, I guess, you know, my experience is the exact opposite of that. I didn't know a single person who thought he was innocent. I didn't know a single person who thought, here's the thing, whether or not Mark Furman, I believe, was the officer with the glove planting issue. Mm-hmm. Even if you can try to frame a guilty person.
Yeah.
You know, but I actually didn't have any of that experience. My experience is more in line with the whole O.J. Simpson thought of himself as not being black and was proud to not be considered black. Mm-hmm. And it had said that.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember us being very frustrated that here was a man who we knew had beaten his first wife.
Right.
You know, and
the
had he been in jail, had he been in jail for that, this wouldn't have happened.
Right.
And I always found it confusing when the media was talking about black people think he's innocent or they don't want him to be found guilty, because that was not my experience. And when they did, it was kind of like when they tried to make that group of people bigger than they were. So I remember the day of the verdict, they had a reporter and they kept teasing it on the local news that they were going to show you this almost riot, these people protesting, you know, and saying, and just being like, OJ is innocent. And then they went to this corner and it was like a handful of people standing around, not even like with signs, like they might have just gathered there to get on the bus, you know? And they were like, and I was like, that just isn't the case. So I think that to me, what comes up for me with his death is how two things. One, you know, your entire life, it doesn't matter who you are or what you do. And this is the thing. Those people are dead. Ron Goldman and Nicole Simpson are dead. They died. It destroyed these people's families, all their kids, all of that. It was the most horrific thing that you can imagine happening. And he deserved to be in jail for that crime. I firmly believe this man was guilty.
Absolutely.
And not just because he tried to make a book called I Didn't Do It, But If I Did Do It, This Is What I Would Have Done. I mean, this is a person who got revealed, went from being one of the most beloved black men in America, like Cosby.
Yep.
Like these people who have been able to hide their criminality and their sociopathness behind white people accept me. Look, I've crossed over, you know, they've been able to hide their horrific behavior behind that. And I look at, you know, Ron Goldman's family, and here his parents, you know, that I saw a report that his father said, well, no great loss there at finding out that OJ had passed away. And it's like, he got to pass away. Mm-hmm. He wasn't murdered.
Yep. Yep. Yep, yep. And you know what I found really interesting too was when I started scrolling through, you know, all the different articles, the first thing that they lead with is that he's a former, all the NFL stuff. And then all the pitchman stuff. I'm like, you mean you don't want to start with the fact that this man was a murderer?
That to me. How you don't, because here's the thing. I didn't watch football. I saw those Avis or whatever they were commercials. What were they? Hertz, Avis?
Hertz, Avis, and then some orange juice. Didn't he do some
orange juice? Yeah, he did the OJ. Of course he did. You know. But what I know about him is watching that trial, mm-hmm. you know, and to act like there's anything else to talk about at this point. It's like, yeah, he was the reason he was in the reason this wasn't, this got publicized is he was this American icon.
And I just want to just say, before there was a TikTok, before there was a Facebook, I was working in an office where they wheeled in a television.
That's right.
And plugged it in so that we could watch that as we worked and listen to it mm-hmm. at the cultural center. It was a phenomenon. And for all that it was, we were a part, that man's life sucked us in. It was the trial of the century. We were alive for that. We went through that as a community, as a culture, mm-hmm. as a consciousness. And I think we came out better for it because of it.
Well, you know, I think I remember watching, you know, the chase, although I've always thought chase was a really ridiculous term for it, where he was apprehended with that slow ass ride through Los Angeles.
The white Bronco. Yeah.
And I remember for years, maybe a decade after this, whenever one of us parked wrong, somebody would say, oh, why are you parking like OJ? You know, because how he, and it's like, it's so, I mean, why do you think we came out for the better?
Yeah, I think we all did. Whoever wasn't at, I think that OJ did it, got there. And I got there within that decade. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Because I'm going to say, and it's so interesting, we had a very different experience, because what I watched in Chicago was blackness being put on trial. And that what they did was, is that they muddied that discussion of, this is a black man that they want to put this on, as guilty as he looked, right? There was, and when I tell you, the coverage in Chicago was from that POV.
I don't understand this POV, that he's innocent, or that the only reason he's on trial is because he's black.
Yep.
That's crazy.
That was the POV.
That's entirely insane.
Chicago. Which was
his
funny.
Blood was at the scene. He's entirely insane to suggest any other reason.
I know. I'm just telling you.
I mean, I don't think they did a good job of prosecuting this case at all. It was one of those things. No. I was like, why are they going through like 6 months of, you know, blood of not of this weird analysis of things when all you do is be like, do you remember bleeding at your ex-wife's house?
Right.
Like, I mean, there were so many things about it that made no sense in terms of, you know, how, you know, Marcia Clark, I'll never forget that. She looked better at the end of it. I can say that.
She got judged. You know what? God bless.
And I don't mean to be sexist by talking about it, but I remember that was a big part of the discussion.
It was her Tony perm was all
lots of people
about
fell
it.
Victim to that. Lots of people fell victim to
you
it.
You know, it was
the Jerry Curl was a black version.
It was the white version of the Jerry Curl.
Everybody got taken in by these tight little curls for a period of time. It happened. We can acknowledge the collective trauma.
You know what? Maybe it's that trend is dead with OJ, right along with OJ.
No great loss.
Next up, the EPA finalized the first ever national limits on toxic forever chemicals in drinking water.
Okay. This hit me much the same way as finding out there wasn't a National Women's History Museum hit me. You mean there ain't been no national limits on what they call forever chemicals?
No.
We haven't had a limit on chemicals that do not go away?
Let me tell you, and I'm talking to everybody out there who got a motherfucking pain someplace that nobody wants to give you fucking credit for feeling mm-hmm. weird when mm-hmm. your head is weird 3 days
trying to get all
a
your feelings taken out because you don't know what's going on.
That's right. When your feet go funny, this shit. this the shit that we all fucked up with, okay? And to act like we haven't been drinking it, to act as if we haven't been consuming it, for you to be able to go out here and make a rule about it?
I mean, Francis, you mean we didn't already have no ban on this? I'm like, whoa. We don't have national ban. There's been no national ban.
Been none. Ain't been none.
On anything.
Ain't been none, girl.
Coming into our water. Because we all know Flint's a problem, right? We all know Flint's a problem. We all know we've heard about these communities and the environmental racism. But what you telling me here is you ain't even been watching. Oh, yeah, snap. You know what? It made me think, is EPA just like high? Are they just high all the time? And they're like, wait, guys. By the way, we just noticed that there's these forever chemicals that don't degrade over time. And we're going to try to get them out of the water, maybe, starting like next week or something.
Good. Pass that.
Dude, what do you do at the EPA? What are you doing?
Well, a group of human-made chemicals. Of course, we made them.
Yeah,
okay.
We don't know how to act when we get in the lab. We don't know how to act.
We sure don't. That are considered especially harmful because they don't degrade. How you gonna make some shit that don't go away?
And this is the thing. Not shit we want. Because you know what does go away? Elasticity in my skin. You know what does go away? My ability to bend over. But not, this is where we put the don't go away energy.
I know. Stupid. We stupid. Okay. They can accumulate in the body and the environment and pose a health risk to people who at even the smallest detectable levels of exposure. The new rule is expected to reduce drinking water exposure to these per and polyfluoroalkyl.
Oh, I can't even say
substances.
That. Polyfluoroalkyl.
Substances or PFAS.
Bad stuff. It's bad stuff.
For about 1 million people and prevent 100. Thousands of, I'm sorry, 100 million people and prevent thousands of related illnesses and deaths. Okay, you know, it really does feel like, oh man, oh, our bad.
Oh, wait, you know what? Hey, you know what, Roscoe?
Hey,
you know what I just realized?
What?
We should be watching the drinking water.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Because people drink it.
Jerry did say before he left in 86, he said, dude, I'm retiring, but you know what I want you to do is watch the water. That was the last time I watched the water.
Yeah, I think he meant like, continually, like for bad stuff. Yeah, I just seriously. And I, you know, I was expecting to read that we did have this in effect and then Trump got rid of it. No.
You wish you woulda, coulda.
Here I am getting mad at people who leave water bottles in the car, being like, you can't leave a water bottle in the car like that. They're PFAS. You can't do that. It leaches into the water. But, and it was already in the water.
Yep. Yeah, you ain't got to. And you know what? This is the thing that gets me. Everybody who sat back and went, oh, poor Flint. You got a water issue.
Did they do it like that? Because that is messed up. That is a messed up reaction to kids getting diseases. To be like, oh, look at me. That's really messed up. If anybody did that, Francis, I want their names. Because that is not how we react. That is not how we react to that.
Oh, you can't drink your water.
Over there sipping water, just gulping water.
You can't drink no water. Oh, that's so hard for you.
Okay, I really hope nobody did that. Okay.
You can't drink no water. But let me tell you, okay? That's all of us.
Apparently.
All of us. Judge Eileen Cannon agreed to shield the names of potential witnesses in Trump's criminal classified documents case. You know, it's like...
But what didn't she agree to do?
What didn't she agree to do, Angela?
She didn't agree. She, in fact, refused to categorically block witness statements from being disclosed, saying there was no basis for such a sweeping and blanket restriction on their inclusion in pretrial motions, other than protecting their identity.
Yeah.
Because their testimony might reveal things that make it clear who they are. Because, you know, the second you put these things out, what the press and everybody starts doing is trying to figure out. We knew who, what unindicted co-conspirator number one was before the end of the day. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, Angela.
So what Judge Eileen Cannon said is, I am here to ensure that Donald Trump does not have to pay for any crimes. And if we have to do, we're open to witness intimidation and tampering. So the only way I can effectively allow that to happen is to let them release some information. Now I'm gonna put just enough hold on it to make it maybe be able to argue that I'm not biased.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, can we get over the part where we give her the benefit of the doubt? Can we get over that?
And get a new judge?
Thank you.
Okay, Angela, I need you to explain what is going on to me. Like, I mean, 3-4 years old.
Okay.
Arizona upheld a 160-year-old law banning nearly all abortions. We went back and reached back to a rule 160 years old. If I were a woman, gay, person of color, I'd be concerned that a Supreme Court feels as though it can go to a pre-emancipation proclamation ruling for an area that wasn't even a fucking state yet.
Thank you. How is the Arizona Supreme Court gonna say there's a legal precedent from Arizona when it wasn't Arizona at the time?
Okay.
They weren't Arizona yet.
The bitch wasn't Arizona.
Wasn't Arizona yet. It is the most redonkulous, obscene. And what kills me is then what they've done is Carrie Lake, who I thought was the governor, according to her, right? She's the governor.
Right.
But she says, you know, the governor's got to do something about this because this is out of control. This is way too far. And I'm like, ooh, Carrie, because Trump, he had just said states should be in charge. Right? So what do? They take charge
from when, and you know what? This is the thing that really gets me, that women and people of color, everybody who's in this boat with me, okay, needs to understand.
Which is almost everybody, because non-landowning white people didn't have no rights then either.
Okay, what you need to understand is that these are territories that are willing to go back to a ruling before you had fucking rights.
Well, you know, I'm glad you used the word territory, because this says to me, if they see themselves as an entity that takes place in that time, then let's let them take place in that time and take away their status as a state. They don't need representation.
No.
They don't need to have people in Congress, because they didn't do that for a territory, that a non-incorporated area. And let's just get to the part where they are, whoever they are, in the Wild West, and we don't have to pay attention to them. Because this also, what I need us to do, and this is across the board, is we have to start holding these state legislatures accountable in the way that we, as people outside of those states, can do it, which is withholding our money in business.
That's right.
And be clear about something. I read a great article, editorial, a week or two ago, about how black athletes, or all athletes really, but black athletes in particular, should really consider not going to colleges in Alabama, not going to colleges in places where they don't want diversity, equity, and inclusion.
That's
if they
right.
don't want those things, maybe they don't want you. That's what they're
that's
saying.
Right.
So don't go there.
Yep.
And that's, and I think that we have to start saying, because look, we've boycotted Arizona for their crazy before. Remember when they won MLK Day to be a holiday?
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday to you.
They didn't want to celebrate
that. They did not want that.
And Arizona on my list, because they also don't participate in daylight savings time, which is a bitch move in this country, because we have to go there, and it's confusing. Okay.
It is really confusing.
So my thing is, we need to start holding them accountable. And that means for us as consumers, we need to hold businesses accountable. If you're involved with a business that is centered or, you know, in Arizona, write them right now. Go on social media and say, I will no longer be using your product as long as you have anything to do with Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like ice them out, because this is ridiculous to have people like, and this is what kills me. It shows how you can't believe anything these Republicans say. Carrie Lake was in favor of this law up until they used it.
She said
this was a great law prior to this. Mm-hmm. Now she's concerned they've gone too far. And Trump's they've gone too far. No, this is what you told them to do.
What do you mean? This is what you hired 3 Supreme Court justices to do to every single woman in this country.
That's right.
So I don't know. For me, you know, you can't back up off of this.
This is your work.
You're the dog that caught the car. Speaking of which, all right, Texas prosecutor drops charges in abortion arrest case. The Starr County, Texas, district attorney's office said that it was dropping murder charges against 26-year-old Lizelle Herrera, who was arrested in the border county over what authorities called a self-induced abortion. The Starr County Sheriff's Office said in a statement last week that Herrera was charged for, quote, unquote, intentionally and knowingly causing the death of an individual by self-induced abortion. Activists on both sides say of the abortion debate were unsure what law Herrera was being accused of violating, because despite measures Republican lawmakers have pushed through to limit abortion access, the procedure is still legal.
Thank you! How are you going to charge her with a crime when it's not a crime?
Don't think that they
withdrew this because they realized they were wrong or the goodness of their heart. It's because they can't do it.
Angela, you know what? First of all, when I read the name, Lizelle Herrera, it's like, oh, what our problem has been, we've been trying to prosecute blonde-haired, blue-eyed white women. Let's get these laws working on the brown people, is what I hear. Okay?
It's just the most ridiculous thing in the world. It's like, we are arresting you for something that's not a crime. Oh, wait a minute.
Right. You know what? Try as they might till they succeed. They're going to keep on trying it, till they succeed. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie.
Also discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. Like, did you try the apple kale wheatgrass shot? That was
so
delicious.
Good. Oh,
and
my goodness.
And it gave me this little pep. I put a little pep in my step.
Ooh, and just zinging on your palate. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, the veggie curry meal saved my life. I was dead tired from working all day. In comes my hungry 18-year-old who's on a diet, and she loved it. She was like, this is good. I got mom points.
That's what I'm saying. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals.
Yes. Head to factormeals.com/to-resist 50 and use code resist 50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
Get chef prepared meals that are delicious on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready to eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking.
Head to factormeals.com/resist50 and use code resist50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let us tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right?
It's really cool, and it's so easy. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask.
And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book.
And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity.
Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, the challenges that she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever.
Face it, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. My own mom, when I gave her MyLifeInABook.com, let me tell you something, they ask great questions, like, what was your favorite childhood game? And when she told me, I was concerned, okay? I was concerned for my past mama, future mama. They played rough.
So check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code FRANGELA at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day.
That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code FRANGELA for 10% off today.
Welcome back. House conservatives revolted against their own leadership and blocked legislation to extend a warrantless surveillance program after Trump urged lawmakers to, quote unquote, kill it. I'm going to say it again. They revolted against their own leadership and blocked their own legislation.
Okay, so what that is like, hey, we need to pass this bill. And then you go, so we're not going to pass this bill. That's what they did.
I don't know what else to do. It was Mike Johnson's third attempt to reauthorize Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, a controversial surveillance law that Democratic and Republican administrations have claimed is vital to protecting Americans from terrorists, hackers, and other foreign threats. Okay? In a 228 to 193 vote, 19 House Republicans blocked the House from debating on their own party's legislation.
I'm going to tell you something. With friends like these.
Oh.
With friends like these.
Oh, baby.
I put quotes up on the fridge every day. And I think yesterday's quote was basically that it's better to have a wise enemy than a foolish friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I tell you, first of all, can I just say, I really do not like the way we treat in general, and the press does all the time, Mike Johnson, like he actually won something.
Right?
Because this man was the last choice.
I mean, after the bottom.
After two other losers and Kevin McCarthy's 15 votes or whatever. I mean, like, this is not, it is like saying the person who came in last won.
Yeah.
You know, like, ooh, let's give a gold medal to Mike Johnson for just being here. You know, for just showing up to the race.
And to act like, this is the other part, to act like he's got power. He doesn't have any power.
He doesn't have no damn power. Nobody
does
have
power. He's powerless over there.
And I think they're playing with him. You know, like when a cat plays with a mouse before it's dead, it just taunts it. They're playing with him because they're going to get him out.
Yes.
They are definitely going to get him out. But they're just like, let's just make it hard for him first. Which I applaud.
Absolutely. Here's a little something that is a little too close for me in my feelings here. Right now, I don't know if you know this, French President Emmanuel Macron will face far-right rival Marine Le Pen in a rematch of the 2017 presidential election runoff.
What year is it?
It's 2024.
I feel like we've been here.
I feel like we keep coming here.
Can we do something about that? Like, is there some sort of, if you've already run, you can't keep running? I just don't know why we can't get rid of that.
But we can't get rid of it here in our own country.
I know. It's like, I'm gonna tell you something. They are like the unmentionable diseases of our time. I cannot.
Well, you know,
Marie Le Pen. What?
I'm telling you, but you know what? Just like Trump, she is the tip of their spear. You know, she really is.
I love how they're like, despite a lackluster campaign, Macron is favored to win the April 24th second round. Like, let's get in the dig. Like, he ain't even worked hard enough for this, but he's going to win. Right. But not by a lot. I mean, it's like 4% difference.
Yeah, it's a little too close for my taste.
That's what I'm saying. We have to, okay, you know this. I know you know this because y'all are smart listening. We have been far too understanding of some crazy points of view, and we're going to have to talk about how we're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah, we're going to have a conversation.
I want us to co-parent these idiots better than we have been. Okay, so we need to get on the same page about how we're going to deal with crazy racist uncle from now on, because we let too much go for too long, okay? And that's why they all crazy.
Yes, and speaking of letting too much go for too long, Biden administration to release ghost gun rule. The Biden administration is preparing to release its long-awaited rule on ghost guns, privately made firearms without serial numbers that are being used in an increasing number of violent crimes.
Again, here we are at, I knew obviously before the story that this needed to happen, but I've always been like, why? Because I can't have a car without a serial number. I can't have, you know, like if I get rid of the serial number on anything, that in and of itself is a crime. So I why is it that this has been okay?
Bitch, you don't, they don't let a baby come out of you without a serial number.
Preach.
What are you talking about?
We needed a special law for this? Really? Like, that's messed up. Like, you can't, I've been leaving tags on pillows for years. Do I not have to now? Like, I mean, it's just, and I know you can do whatever you want. But like, the point is, this article says there are nearly 24,000 ghost guns were recovered at crime scenes. So these are guns that they know were in crimes. At crime scenes from 2016 to 2020, 24,000.
Why have an industry of ghost guns to create untraceable guns and not have laws against it? When you're picking up 24. If I told you you're picking up 24,000 of anything that's killing people, you do something about
it. How many Kinder eggs was it? Were those Kinder?
That's what I'm saying.
You know, how many Tide Pods got in?
Wasn't 24,000?
I mean,
how many people were affected by Tylenol? That shit sealed up.
That was in ones. That was just in Illinois, pretty much. I think.
Yes,
right?
It was.
Yeah, like it's. I mean,
don't tell me.
I don't understand. Has everybody been high up until this year? I just don't know.
That's our final word. And now. No, it wasn't. I thought that was a good final word. And now it's time for emails. Time to go get your emails.
Thank you for writing us at frangela08@gmail.com. I'm a little bit behind, but enjoying reading them. This is entitled Playboy Club. You may remember, it wasn't that long ago. We were talking about, we were having another Frances's messed up childhood moment. And she was talking about going to the Playboy Club. Maybe you should reprise the story for us, Frances.
When we were kids.
Kids is operative here. This is important.
We were kids. You know, that was like me, my brothers. Then I had my cousins who were like, you know, the same ages as my brothers. And I had my other cousins. So we're talking about like a good like 10 of us kids, okay? But I'm the youngest. I'm the youngest by like 9 years. So we're talking about 13, 14 years old.
And how old were you?
Maybe like four, three, four. My parents used to take us all to the Playboy Club. And they would serve you. Mint, you know, that my brothers could get a grasshopper when they were like 14, 15.
With alcohol. This is not a virgin grasshopper. With alcohol.
And the Millionaires Club was the other place we went to all the time. They serve you booze. Yeah. Because you were, you know, you were close to being a teen.
No, you weren't.
Were teenage.
No, you weren't.
You're a young adult.
That's how the line works. That's how it works.
And then my father, every time when a waiter would come by, you know, and I order my Shirley Temple, my dad would be like, put a little, and my mom would be like, no. And the waiter would be like, do I booze the kid or not? Yeah.
Okay. So our dear friend Beth K wrote this. Hello, ladies. Just had to share. My grandpa was a hardworking union printer here in Chicago. The printer he worked for, E.F. Hall Rotoprint, printed Playboy magazine. He shared them with my preteen brothers. He was a member of the Playboy Club, and the best was going up to the Playboy Club resort in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and really funny when the young teen boys decide they'd rather go play in the arcade than hang around in the club with the grown-ups, small combo live jazz, and bunnies. And Wisconsin was always very liberal at its nice supper clubs when it came to serving alcohol to the kids in the family. If mama gave the go-ahead, the waitstaff complied without hesitation. With warmest regards to you and my very favorite Black-owned business, I remain your Patreon friend, Beth K.
Oh, okay, thank you, Beth.
I don't want to upset you. So hold on to something. I don't know that was a good idea. I'm sure everybody turned out fine, but I just think this is something that we have to process.
I'm telling you, that's the way it was. And speaking of Lake Geneva, I guess I didn't explain to everybody. My father was a jazz musician, right? Mm-hmm. So he played up at Lake Geneva a lot. He played at the Playboy Club all the time. So everybody knew who he was. So when he came in...
But that did not affect your age. Knowing him didn't make you 21.
It didn't make me five.
It didn't make you five.
Okay.
And that, let me be clear, that's where my... my feelings come
sure,
in.
Sure, 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 sure. Let me tell you. But that's the reason why we're so like a lot of these clubs and supper clubs and all of that stuff. My dad was super famous in Chicago for blowing a horn.
Let me tell you something. It's bad enough that growing up, they allowed us to put on the accoutrements of drinking and smoking. From chocolate cigarettes that came in the cute little cigarette case, Fanny Farmer, mm-hmm. you know, little thing, mm-hmm. and to Shirley Temples that are in a martini glass, so that we were play acting, consuming alcohol and tobacco. Of course, we were ready to go consume them. As soon as we could get a hold of them, because they became cool things. That alone is problematic, but actually getting the booze from a Playboy bunny seems to me like a lot further down the road.
You know, it's just a fond child.
C'est la vie. C'est la vie.
You know what? I'm going to look through our pictures, and I know I got some pictures with some Playboy bunnies. I'm going to post those.
Really? Really enjoy seeing that. I would really enjoy seeing that.
I think I do.
I think it might help our fun drive.
And now it's time for resistance. Wrap up. Maybe not. Next time. You know what I want to do?
Well, you know, like, we've had a lot of trouble and I can't find a sheet. And so we're going to have to do it next week it's a mess. We've been doing this for way too long today to try to get it to work. We have not gotten our new computers yet. So I apologize, but just give some money to like Biden Harris or something.
Stop them people from, you know,
or like, you know, a really good voter rights organization.
Mm-hmm. Or an abortion fund, please.
Abortion fund.
I love you. I'm Frances Callier.
I'm Angela V. Shelton.
We are Frangela. Thank you so much for listening to The Final Word.